That's awesome. Well, we're actually starting our new series, Pitfall, and we're going to be dealing with four areas that stop us from reaching the potential God has for us. And the first one we'll be dealing with today is called pride. Yes, everybody has it. If you think you don't, that's prideful right there. And some of us take great pride, don't we, in that we don't display our pride like others do. Go, God, doesn't that person know how prideful that looks? I would never do that. Oh, sure, I feel the same way. But I have learned to be humble in my pride, to not share it out there and make them guess a little longer than those people that are blatant about it. So, listen, Proverbs 16, I believe it's 18, states this. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Our root issue, our root sin, our root problem is pride. Everything falls off of that. Everything grows from that pot that is not good in our lives. Pride is the downfall of everyone. And a number of us in here can name athletes, businessmen, politicians, preachers, numerous people who had tremendous skills, but their pride took them down. You know, your skill is the first, it's like your resume. Pride enables us to give a nice resume and look good in the beginning. Pride enables us to have a good first impression. People are wowed by our skills. You want to have a lasting impression? Your humility gives you that. Your humility allows people over time. In fact, your best testimony isn't what you say about yourself. It's what other people say about you. That's your true testimony. What does your family say about you? You know, see, I can come up here and preach a message to you, but if my pride has caused me to hurt Therese, my wife, before service, during the week, and she's sitting in the pew, and I'm coming up here to teach you guys on something, and she's looking at me out of hurt, she's not thinking in her mind, boy, I can't wait to hear what that wonderful guy has to say. She's sitting thinking something else. You want to hear about your life and what people think about you? Ask those who know you. That's your real testimony. Pride always leaves the first impression because it depends. We have hope in what we are. Now, if you're sitting here today and you think, good, you're a good man. So what is pride? Pride is this. Pride's an inflated sense of one's own worth or personal status. And it typically makes one feel a sense of superiority over others with the result of looking condescendingly at them. See, pride separates. Pride exalts. If I were to name, if you were to ask me, Joe, what's your opinion on the greatest quality, character quality that Jesus had? I would say it's humility. See, when you're humble, you can hang with the low and the high. And we'll talk more about humility as we go forward. If you're prideful, you separate. You are better than them in some area. Pride is always an enemy of ours. Now, if you think you're not prideful, listen to this. And if you think, you know what, I don't judge people like other people. I'm a pretty non-prideful type person. That's not really my issue. The truth is, it's all of our issues. In fact, listen, in this book, written by David G. Myers, a pretty world-famous guy, it's called The Inflated Self. And he shows through meticulous social scientific research that the major illusion of human beings is not inferiority, but superiority. It turns out that the basic human problem is not low self-esteem, but overestimation of oneself. The author recounts the finding of Jean-Paul Caudill, who conducted 20 experiments with people ranging in age from 12-year-old children to adult professionals. regardless, he says, of those involved and the experimental methods used, people's self-perceived superiority was consistently present. If these people that were tested were given a teamwork task, people saw themselves as more cooperative than others. If given a competitive task, people perceived themselves as more competitive than others. Myers also relates the findings of a national survey of high school seniors who were asked how they feel compared with other people of their own age in certain areas of ability. In leadership ability, 70% of those asked rated themselves above average. 2%, only 2%, rated themselves below average as leaders. 60% viewed themselves as better than average in athletics. Only 6% viewed themselves as below average in athletics. In ability to get along with others, 0% of the 829,000 students in the study rated themselves below average. Everybody thinks they get along great with people. Not one person said, you know what, I got people issues. Pretty amazing. 60% rated themselves in the top 10% of the ability to get along with people, and 25% saw themselves in the top 1% of hanging with people. It appears that people are not racked with inferiority feelings, but instead suffer from an overwhelming superiority complex. In a 2003 study at Cornell University, they found that people tend to be blissfully unaware of their incompetence. Where they lack skill or knowledge, they greatly overestimate their expertise and talent, thinking they are doing just fine, when in fact they are doing quite poorly. Clearly, we have a problem here. Scripture gave it in the very beginning. Pride is the problem. Because pride makes you not teachable. And it is not that we are suffering, these studies show, from low self-esteem. It turns out we are proud and haughty and boastful and arrogant about all facts and even common sense. How many of us in here, if we were to take a survey, go, oh yeah, I'm very good with common sense? Marshall Goldsmith, another leader who leads the Alliance of Leadership or Strategic Leadership. So this guy is a leader of leaders, and he gives conferences out, and he found this out. He says 85% of leaders think they are in the top 25% of all leaders, which means this: at least 6 in 10 of us are obviously delusional. It is impossible for 85% of people to be in the top 25%. See, pride is always an enemy you and I will contend with. Pride always separates. And we'll look at a couple scriptures that are spoken of in scripture that how God wars against pride. Why? Because it separates. Humility unites. Humility brings people together. Anyone that feels better than others separates themselves from them. It exalts oneself. Pride always exalts itself at the demotion of another. Pride boasts about the areas where we think we've nailed it and looks down on those whom haven't nailed what we've nailed. And that's usually where it is. That's when I can separate. I think I'm doing something so much better than someone else. And I see them struggling in it. And I equate that as I'm better. And you know what that does? It makes us apathetic toward their condition. Pride makes you apathetic toward the suffering of others because you're not like them. This is the true deceptiveness of pride. We don't even have to do anything better. We just think we're better. Just because. How many of us just think we're better? We all do. We all just think we're better. We think we should be in a different place. And we don't even have to have anything to prove that. It just rolls in us. Then our pride can really grow through experience and skills that actually does make us better in some areas. We are tempted to think oftentimes we don't need to be forgiven as much. How many of us sit in the pew when the people are coming up and you go, that fool goes up there every week? He must have real issues. I thank God I'm not like that. Or I'm not going up there for prayer. I don't want everybody to think I need, No. How many are sitting here right now, got your religious pride on, go, man, he hasn't even gotten to more than one scripture yet. I thought this was church. Why, so-and-so down the street. I run through those thoughts. This is the thing. Where pride separates, humility unites. Humility is the answer to pride. That's why Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and what? I'll give you rest. I'll hear you. I'll accept you. Why? He says, because I'm gentle and humble in heart. See, if anybody could be prideful, it would have been Jesus. He's God. But he came down and walked among us. It's interesting, too, that humility has a common strand or a common rope between all of us. And it is this: we're human beings. You never stop being a human being. Pride somehow elevates us above the other human beings in whatever area I'm prideful in. Somehow I'm a little bit more lofty than them. I know a little bit more. I have more. Whatever it is. The root of the word humility comes from the word humus, which means earth, dirt. And it's also in the Greek, the meaning is this: of the ground. It is where we get the word human being, a being who walks on the ground. From the heavenly perspective, all human beings are earth dwellers. They are not above the earth. God and the Lord never get that mixed up. He understands we're all earth dwellers. Oh, we all have skills, but we're all flawed. My flaws might not be your flaws, but I am flawed. To put forth my resume of all my skills and to deny all the other flaws in me is pride. God never has that problem. That's why he says, I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed with what you can do. I'm impressed with your heart. You and I, we have a common enemy. We're always struggling with pride. In fact, every issue you have with a person, your job, whatever, has a pride component to it. In Life Recover, we talk about what is your role? What is your part in this problem? What is your issue in this thing? Pride will tell us we need to figure it out ourselves, which separates us from people. We were never designed to figure it out ourselves. That's a prideful statement. But yet, how many of us from the time we were tiny were told, you shouldn't even have needs? I counsel couples all the time that they don't share with each other their needs because they think they should be able to meet it. I should be able to meet all my own needs. No, you can't. You weren't designed that way. Human beings, earth dwellers, people with their feet on the ground need one another. It's a big deal. But see, if I don't need anybody, then I separate from people. I don't want to show there's need. Humility is the understanding that I am not above the rest of the human race. Even though I am skilled, I am flawed like they are. My flaws might be a little different. And humility is the understanding that I'm not below the rest of the humanity. I'm an earth dweller. I'm not above them. I'm not below them. The flip side of pride, and I've shared this with you guys before, is victim. Oh, woe is me. Well, it's still all about you. As long as I'm thinking all about me, it separates me. See, the victim, I'm not like those people. Oh, you're still separated from them. And then people come in your life and say, well, if you do this, this, and this, you'll get it. I tried it. Didn't work for me. That's pride. Oh, that doesn't sound like it worked. That's stupid. That's pride. The humble person understands they have giftings. They have strengths. But they also understand they are imperfect. And they don't hide it. Doesn't mean they relish in it. It means they are teachable. I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know how to deal with that. Pride always gives a good first impression because it's all about your abilities. The lasting impression comes from humility. I respect people who have failed a number of times. They know what not to do. How many of us have kids and we keep telling them what not to do? You know, if that's not going to really work, and they look at you and go, like you know. Then when they turn 30, it's like you're a genius all of a sudden. You know so much more the older they get, huh? The younger we are, the dumber they are. The older we get, the smarter they are. Hopefully. Because I know people that are in their 50s that still nobody's telling them nothing. You know, oftentimes the most pride people live the most mediocre lives. Because how well can you live in your own little bubble? You're stuck with you all the time. Humility, in a nutshell, is what identifies with others. That's why God was humble. He identified. You know, one of the attributes, you can tell a prideful person, one of their attributes is they have selective hearing. They only want to hear from those who are above them so they can glean and get there. It's a motive to get there. Or they might be willing to listen to some peers, but they're not listening to anybody they would consider lower than them. What does that person have to add to my life? They have a lot to add to your life. Prideful people. You ever notice prideful people? That, you know, you can't get three paragraphs out of them without naming five different people they've been hanging with. And it's always somebody upper, right? You know, I was hanging out with two, you know, loaded homeless dudes the other day, and we had the best conversation ever. Never hear about that. You know, I was over this place and celebrity here and celebrity there. Nobody does selfie with the homeless dude. Everybody loves a star. Why? Because it means we're valuable, we're worthwhile, we're something. Listen, there are four areas, critical needs, all of us have. All human beings have four critical needs. And the first one is this. We have a need to belong. We have a need to belong. You may act like you don't have a need to belong. That's simply pride, which out of that flower pot will bloom all kinds of junk. You have a need to belong. That's why we hang out with gangs. And in that need to belong, that's why we hang out with certain groups of people. We're trying to find, we will find a place to belong. Where do you read on Facebook? Where do you read them when you're on the internet? That's where you're trying to belong to. We have a need to belong. We have a need to be accepted. And you do what you need to do to be accepted. I know guys, lots of guys that were in gangs. What do you need to be to do accepting the gang? You need to be violent. The more violent you are, the more this you are, the more acceptance you get. Whatever it is we're looking for. Whatever it is, we're looking to be accepted. See, pride says you're not acceptable. Pride says you don't belong. You're not like us or me or our thing. Third need we have is to be secure. We want security. That's why money becomes a big deal to us. Well, that'll make me secure. You know me, one of my pride things growing up, I didn't know that you could express needs and that your spouse should be able to meet those or help to meet those, that you have a need. So, you know, when it comes to the security thing, I wanted Therese to be insecure because I wanted her back in the day. I quit doing it like this morning. So turn over this new leaf. I'm going to see how it works out. No. There was a season in our lives to where if I made her feel insecure, she would do stuff so that I would accept her, and then I would, you know, I would have this need for security met. Because if she's insecure and she's trying to make me secure and she's trying to do this and she's trying to perform this act, and maybe if I did that, this, you know, he'll accept me. She was longing for acceptance. I'm longing for security. But if you make them secure thinking they would do that, then she'll never leave me. It's all messed up. And it was a sick little game we played. But see, we didn't know any different. And then as I've come to find out and grew that I have needs. It's only pride that makes me try to manipulate them to get met. It's humble for me to say, I struggle in this area. I need you to be more affectionate. I need us to talk. You know, she needs more quality time. Okay. That means every electronic thing off? I've made a new rule for myself just recently, probably within the last couple months, to not bring my phone when I go in to be with people. I can't pay attention to you and pay attention to it at the same time. And have you noticed the more you're into the electronic device, any second something's not going on, you're checking out something. Somebody's eating somewhere. Who has something to say? Man, you leave that thing alone. First of all, you don't have to take 40 pictures of stuff. Who cares? It was a lot easier in the old days when you had to go to Save-On to get the pictures processed. You weren't taking 75 of the same moment. And it's prideful. People don't care. They really don't care what you're eating. Where you're going now. Oh, look, he pulled into the 76 station. Glad he tagged me. There's a need there. Somebody's expressing a need. I need to feel accepted. I need to feel I belong. I need to feel this is something. You know, that's just we do it now blatantly. But something's, you know, I'll tell you what, when I see people post 150 times how much they love their wives, I'm saying they got issues. They got love issues going on here. They're trying to fix it publicly. Get off of that and go hang with her so she feels loved. And I hear one guy say that. What? Yeah. What if guys posted up there, I have no need right now. I have no need right now. Just letting everybody know I have no need. I don't even know why I'm doing that. Listen, and the fourth one is this. We have a need to matter. We want to matter. We want to have some purpose. Look at this. I matter. Oh, look at, I got 70 likes. I matter a lot. I mean, it's funny in a way, but it's also indicative of the breakdown of our culture. I have over 1,200 friends that are my friends on Facebook. Six of them invite me over to their house. So apparently our relationship's better at a distance. We have those needs. Pride is the stumbling block in getting those met. For some of you today, this is broad, you know, this is aha information that you have needs. And the way those get met in a healthy way is to ask for that need. But first of all, you got to know yourself well enough to get the needs. So Jesus deals with a couple guys in Scripture in Luke chapter 18. And he's been hanging with the Pharisees, hanging with the large people. It was in his semi-popular time. So he's talking. He might have been even by a synagogue. He might have been in a church setting. And he says this. He says, in speaking to these guys, he said, to some who were confident of their own righteousness. To some. So he would be looking, say he's hanging with a group about our size. He's looking around, and he already knows that there's a lot of prideful people sitting here. He's going to identify one in particular because that person self-identifies them. Well, they self-identify in the story. But he's looking around and he goes, I can see, because he sees the hearts. Some of you walked in today and you were already, how many? You don't have to raise your hand because that would be humble. But some of us walked in today with pride, looking at other people, immediately comparing ourselves. Comparing ourselves. And whenever you compare, you're either better or worse. And some of us, because of our brokenness, we're always worse than everybody. And some of us, without doing anything, we're just coming here better. We just have that thing in. We're always at war with it. And everything else springs from it. So Jesus starts to tell this story. He says, to some who are confident of their own righteousness, they are righteous. That's what self-righteousness is. I don't really need others. I'm self-contained, got it all together. And if I don't have it together, I'll figure it out. He says, they not only were confident of their own righteousness, they looked down on everyone else. So Jesus told them this parable. He said, hey, two men went up to the temple to pray. They went up to the house of God. So it's a religious example. That happens in religion, too. He says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other tax collector. Jesus gave the opposite ends of the spectrum. He didn't say one had a good job and the other guy had a semi-good job. When Jesus gives examples, he said one was the pillar of a religious professional. He was at the top of the religious profession. The other guy was at the lowest and he was a tax collector. He was as worthy as a prostitute and the dope fiend of the day. He was nobody. He had nothing going for him religiously. And he says, and two of these guys were in amongst the group. And then he says this. The Pharisee stood by himself, separated himself from the others. He's not like them. He says, stood by himself and he prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. He says, I'm very confident that when I go to you, I don't need to repent of much. I've got my ducks in a row. I am pretty darn good. I am healthy compared to that dude who doesn't even have a good job. If that tax collector, see, the tax collector will see to be a humble guy. If I was that tax, I would look at him, hey, dude, being a tax collector is the least of my problems. I'm so jacked up. But what does pride do? Pride always takes an inventory of someone on the most superficial level. They take it on your resume. The tax collector came in with a lousy resume. So Jesus sets up the scenario. And the people would be thinking, oh, tax collector, no problem. What's the point of this story? Tax collectors who we're all trying to be. He fasts. He tithes. He doesn't hang out with the riffraff crowd. He separates himself from all that, and he only hangs around with holy people who do all these holy things. His prayer was about how good he was. The confidence in his position, the confidence in his life, and the confidence in the way he saw life was accurate. The other guy cowered in the corner. It'll tell us in the next verse he couldn't even look up. But this guy stood up and made sure he was known. Listen, you cannot be righteous and think you are better than others. You can't do it. It's not that. You cannot be a righteous person thinking you're better than others. The mistake of the Pharisee was not that he had issues. It was this mistake of saying, I am not like other people. That's always the first indicator of pride. I'm not like them. I don't do things. I'm a unique case. I am totally unique. I am the first person ever to trudge the path I'm on. No, you're not. You're heading for a pitfall if you do that. You have never done anything that others haven't done. You've never experienced anything that others haven't experienced. In fact, if you're a Christian, it's a prideful thing to think you won't. You won't. You will. It's a prideful thing to think you can change somebody. You can't even change yourself, Scripture says. God has to enable you to do that. You think you can't change? I've seen many people giving them the best food to eat, spiritually speaking, even relationally speaking. I'm giving you a lot of psychology today in this, and Jesus was the greatest psychologist. He knew how people operated. In fact, I keep sharing with you guys, read the Gospels. But don't just blast through and read each sentence. Because in the beginning of this story, he said, some. There was a group of people like this. He's going to identify too. So what we tend to do is we focus on that little part. It's a universal issue. It was 2,000 years ago. It's today. It's your big issue every day you wake up is dealing with your pride. Who you think you are as opposed to who you really are. When you begin to realize who you really are, you realize you got flaws. How many are dealing with the same thing you've been dealing with for decades? That's pride. That's how insidious it is. That's how it's with us forever. There is nothing, and I've said this a bunch of times, there is nothing you're dealing with today you haven't dealt with before. And God only gives us victory one day at a time. That's what you get. That's why Jesus said, you got enough problems today. Tomorrow will take care of itself. It's going to come. I'll give you everything you need today. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So Jesus tells him this. See, if this guy, and Jesus only had one problem, really, with any group of people, and it was the religious people, because why? They represent him. And when they represent him from a prideful position, they misrepresent him, and now he's got to deal with that. Does this sound like a prayer Jesus would do? Thank you that I'm not like other people. Thank you that I don't do wrong like they do. Is that a misrepresentation of how God looks at people? Is that the prayer of someone whose intent is to further the good of humanity? Who's praying in such a way as to help people? It isn't. It separates people, and God wars against that. You know, in James 4:6, we have this saying that James wrote. He said, God opposes the proud. You know what that word means? It means he's at war with. He battles against them to eliminate that which they take pride in. You know, some of us have lost stuff in our lives because we took pride in it. And it separated us from others rather than putting us in a position. Humility connects me with them. I struggle, you struggle, I get struggle. Let me help you with your struggle. And I can really be helpful to you in helping you overcome struggles that I've overcome. Rather than taking pride that I've overcome it and you're still struggling, therefore you're less than. When I've overcome it, now I have some tools to help you with in overcoming it. How would you like to go to school and your second grade teacher says, I know how to add. Ha ha, you don't. I know how to divide. Look, I can write my name even in cursive. Ah, you can't even stay in the lines. I'm better. That's what pride does. Take that to adult level. That's exactly what pride does. I am better than you. I stay in the lines a lot better. I have whooped this area in my life, and I see you're still struggling. Loser. That's what it does. We might put a spiritual sense on it, but it's the same deal. He said, God opposes the proud. He wars against them, but he shows favor to the humble. He shows favor. I need something. He favors. That's an action word. Humility always pushes us into action on behalf of the person that is asking for help. He says, that tax collector came to me and said, woe is me. I'm messed up. Peter tells us the same thing about God's attitude, Jesus' attitude toward pride. 1 Peter 5:5, Peter says, same thing, God opposes. He's at war with the proud, but shows favor to the humble. When you act and realize that you walk this planet like everybody else, and anything God does in your life to build you is to be used to help build someone else, not to separate you from them. Your failings even are a cord to them saying, I fail too. When you can be honest before God, then others can be honest before God. When I can tell you I tried to manipulate my wife to meet my needs because I didn't know how to ask that. I didn't even know you could. Because I didn't think you were supposed to have needs. He wars. And I'll tell you what, this Pharisee was full of pride. In verse 13 of chapter 18 of Luke, it says this, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven. He beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He said, God, clown boy over here thinks my issue is a job. I got so many more. So many more. Help me, a sinner. What does sinner mean? What does the word sin mean? It means to fall short. He goes, that's not the only place I fall short. I fall short in a bunch of places. Help me. Help me. And what does God do? He gives grace. He said, and what's mercy? Mercy is an act too. When you show mercy towards somebody, you help them in their condition. He was merciful to the weak. He was merciful to the guilty. He helped them in their condition. That's an action word. Pride always separates. Humility always connects. It's the way it is. And this is the thing. You need to be humble to yourself. Be connected to yourself. You walk around thinking you should be here when you're really here. You're delusional. Where you really are is where you really are. That's where you need help. And to think you're not going to need help there, you'll figure it out yourself. If you could have, you would have. Right? It's not like, I need help here, but screw me. Right? Who says that? We'll do it. But it's not because we're rationally thinking that's what we're doing. We just don't get the help we need where we need it. That's a prideful thing. What does Jesus say about him? I'll tell you this, he says, that this man rather than the other tax collector rather than the religious dude. Went home justified before God. Went home good with God. God and him were on good terms. Why? His feet were on the ground, and that's where God met him, and he says, keep your feet there. Doesn't say stay in that. Because a humble person is also teachable. They learn. They are seeking to learn. Do you know God will humble us in some ways? He'll take away something to bring us to the point of asking, what's going on here? What's going on? Because prideful people, they don't learn. They don't need to learn. They have pride in whatever it is they got pride in. God says, oh, okay, I'm going to war against that. How do you war against something? You destroy it. So I'm going to destroy. Oh, you think your job is your big deal? Okay, fire him. It's not against us. It's to bring us to a place of, whoa, I'm not that super valuable. Because some of us think that we're super valuable. You know your value is in who you are, not in what you do. I was sharing with someone the other day, I'm going to leave this job at some point. Yeah, pastoring is a professional Christian. That's what it is. It's not better than your job. It's not worse than your job. It's my job. It's what I do. It's what I love to do. But I know that I leave this job at some time. I love what Bob said last week. Pastoring is my call. It's not my vow. My vow is to my wife. I will leave this job. I don't leave her till I die. So if I'm putting all my effort into my job and neglecting my vow, I'm off and got a war against that. Same thing with any guys in here or gals in here. If you're broken and you need everybody else to love on you, but you're not getting it at home and you're not doing it, then you need to rearrange that. My first commitment is to God. My war against that is my own ego and my own pride. I want to be the Lord of my life. And I want God to submit to me. I've been doing this for 21 years now. You know? Cut Rick Warren a little slack. Get it over this way, buddy. But God didn't seem that impressed by my question, my asking. Because I'll give you what I give you. I still love you, Joe. Hey, Joe, do you think I love Rick Warren better than you? Do you think I love any, name somebody in your profession that seems to have more? Do you think God loves that person more than you? No, he doesn't. He loves you because you. Period. He loves you. Because whatever you do is going to end. It is. One way or the other. You make anything a god. That's why Scripture says he comes against the gods. You exalt anything else up into being the god of your life, God comes against that. You got the wrong god. A lot of us are in recovery. We exalted a lot of things. He will war against that. But he'll give you mercy. He'll bring you to the place of you asking, what's going on? What do I need? What's wrong? Oh, now you're teachable. When you start asking the why questions, it puts you in a place of teachability. And then when God begins to reveal and deal and rebuild, he's doing that not only for you, but so that you'll be a blessing to others. Why was Jesus telling these people this? Because the some who were self-righteous were also surrounded by the some who were tore up from the floor up. And he wanted to give them hope too. He sees everybody. God never has the problem understanding human beings. Earth walkers. We sometimes have that problem. And you were put on this earth for a purpose. For this generation. Or you'd have been put somewhere else. There is something to do here. But that's all part of the needs. He's going to be concerned with the other needs too. The need to matter, the need to be loved, the need to be accepted, the need to belong, the need for security. Lots of us are insecure. You know, we're striving to get secure. God, you find it first in him that he loves me, period. Then with that, he's got something for me to make me matter. But mattering, well, when it's in the forefront, it'll never bring wholeness. Belonging brings wholeness. You know, our generation, many people in the these last couple generations have been taught to figure it out themselves. So, listen what Paul says about this. He said this, praise be, and for 2 Corinthians 1:3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Compassion, he cares for you. You belong. He's interested. He listens. It's another attribute of a humble person, is they're good listeners. You ever notice too how I shared it before a couple minutes ago, but selective hearing, how we listen to some people, we don't to others? You know, how many of us don't listen to the people closest to us when they have our best interest in mind? But we're so prideful, we're not going to take that. How many of us have said, oh, don't tell me nothing, you ain't got it together? As if that's the qualification to help each other. And what exactly is together? So he says this, the Father in compassion, of compassion and the God of all comfort, who does what? Who comforts us in all our troubles. He's there for us. He actively works in that. Not only for us, though, it says, so that we can comfort the other beings, the other earth walkers, those that are in trouble, with the comfort we have received from God. See, God just doesn't want us to identify with pain. He wants us to help alleviate it. I identify with lots of people's pain. Somebody tells me about molestation, I get it. I get the feeling. I get how it confuses you. I get all that stuff. But I'd be doing you no favor just to sit there and go, I get it. Sucks, don't it? Good talking with you. I want them to see healing. Why? I want to get healed so that I can help them be healed. I can't change the wound in your soul, but it doesn't always have to bleed. It can be just a scar, and we are scarred up people. So if God has healed my wound, a wound in my soul, and now it's a scar, how dare I yell at someone else who's bleeding still? How dare I think I'm better because I got some healing in a wound I see you're bleeding in? It makes Jesus sick. Says he hates arrogance. He hates anything that puts somebody above other people. And you know part of being humble? Oh my gosh. Is ending on time. I'm working on it, peeps. I lost what I was going to say because probably needed to. Listen, our message is this. We're fellow human beings, gifted and talented but flawed. We're beggars helping other beggars get to the person who's got food. And that's Jesus. And we got to, and then we get to also show them that in my begging, I'm not starving anymore. You know, it's a progressive work God does in our lives. But it starts with asking the question, where am I? It's even a good start to just ask the question, where am I prideful? What am I prideful? Next time you get in an issue with someone, go, what is my role in this? Where's my pride here? You know, one of the great things I have learned is that I give every human being the right to live their own life, even my wife and my kids. Which simply means this, I am available to help you if you want it. If you don't, I give you the right to live the way you want to. God gives you that. Why wouldn't I? I don't have to henpeck you and chase you and tell you, I'm done. I got tired a long time ago chasing people that didn't want to get caught. I got tired of trying to be a policeman. for all the robbers. Because that's what we usually do. If they don't agree with us, now I got to enforce it. However I got to do it. I become the policeman, they become the bad guy. So what do? They hide, I find. All right. So someone in here is in pain today. Listen, other people around you have experienced that pain. You make your pain known, your pain starts to get healed. There are avenues to take. You were never designed to be an island. God didn't bring you into the kingdom, so it's just a you and him thing. It's a you, him, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and the saints, and other people. We're all in this together, and you play a role. And part of that role is being firmly planted on the earth. Thank God, take pride in what you do, and a healthy pride in what you do well, and realize there are areas you don't, and you're better off exposing them so that you can get the healing you need, or else that blood will get on everything else around you, and you'll usually, because of pride, we're the last to know. We're spraying everybody with our stuff. And we're just wondering why they're always running away. All right, let's stand up. The things you're going through are also meant to be a blessing to others. Your healing is not a place of lifting you up above. It's a place of connecting you to those that are hurting. That's how it works. That's what Jesus did. That's what we're called to do. So how many want to be better religious people? Be real. Be authentic. Work on yourselves. Allow God to do that. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I'm more like the tax collector in my inner man. But sometimes I like to act like the Pharisee in my outer world. Father, I don't want to be disconnected like that. I thank you that I have gifts and talents. I thank you that you love me just as I am. Help me to be humble and to expose the closets of my life so that I can get healed. I can't meet all my own needs. And you don't even meet all my own needs. You say, Joe, you need to talk about it. Let's say, have you said your name? You said your name, right? Because what does it help you to say my name? So I will expose my needs. Not to make me less than others, but to give me that common thread that I do belong, that I am acceptable, that I have security. I don't have to hide. And that I do matter. And I thank you for that. Make me whole, Jesus. Not so that I can puff myself up in it, so that I can give away the healing you put in my life. And all God's kids said, God bless you guys. Have a great day.